Every year there is a war over Christmas. Many complain that Christmas has become commercialized, materialistic, even secular. But another question that a few ask is, should we be keeping Christmas at all? After all, Christmas is not mentioned in the Bible. Jesus Christ never kept it. And there's nowhere there where he commands his followers to. The Bible makes clear that Christ was not born anywhere near December 25th. Luke 2 and verse 8 tells us that the shepherds were abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. Decembers in Judea were usually cold and wet, and that meant shepherds brought their sheep down from the fields. So if Christ wasn't born on December 25th, where did Christmas come from? The Catholic Encyclopedia says Christmas was not among the earliest festivals of the Church. The Encyclopedia Britannica notes, in particular, during the first two centuries of Christianity, there was strong opposition to recognizing birthdays of martyrs or, for that matter, of Jesus. Britannica goes on to say, the precise origin of assigning December 25th as the birth date of Jesus is unclear. But then it writes, one widespread explanation of the origin of this date is that December 25th was the Christianizing of the Dies Solis Invicti Nati, the day of the birth of the unconquered sun, or Sol Invictus, a holiday in the Roman Empire that celebrated the winter solstice as a symbol of the resurgence of the sun, the casting away of winter, and the heralding of the rebirth of spring and summer. Indeed, after December 25th had become widely accepted as the date of Jesus' birth, Christian writers frequently made the connection between the rebirth of the sun, that's S-U-N, and the birth of the sun, S-O-N. Many today believe Christmas comes from paganism. In a secular society, this actually increases its appeal to some. But is it true? In the last few years, there's been a bit of a pushback, I think largely a reaction to atheists gleefully proclaiming Christmas's pagan origins. That pushback includes articles like one from The Spectator this week titled, No, Christmas Isn't Pagan. One part of this pushback, an attempt to re-Christianize Christmas, disputes the date of these pagan holy days. It points out that December 25th isn't exactly the winter solstice, and that Roman celebrations like the birthday of Sol Invictus and like Saturnalia, an earlier common festival in Rome, didn't always fall exactly on December 25th. Now, I don't think too many actual historians make this argument. Dates have slid quite a bit as we move between the Julian to the Gregorian calendars. The Romans shifted their feast days around. Emperors would often add or remove or even adjust entirely the date of Saturnalia. So the fact that days may have shifted a couple of days over the course of 2,000 years and all kinds of complicated calendar adjustments doesn't really prove much. Christmas is still far, far too close in date and in the way that it's celebrated to other pagan festivals to be a coincidence. Another argument, actually often made by the same people in the same articles, is to say, yes, there is a connection, but it goes the other way around. The earliest known reference to Christmas being on December 25th is in the calendar of Philocalus from AD 354. The Spectator article claims that the same calendar is also our earliest source for the birthday of the unconquered sun being on the December 25th. So, how do we know that Christmas was copied from the pagans? Couldn't it have been the other way around, that pagans actually copied their days from Christmas? Well, there are several problems with that. One is we know for a fact that Saturnalia was widely celebrated and wildly popular within the Roman Empire in the first century AD. We have a great many accounts of it being celebrated there. We have details of the parties, the gift giving, the wreaths and decorations, and other elements that look very much like Christmas. And we know that this took place around, and in some years probably even on, December 25th. Contrary to what is written in The Spectator, we also have a much earlier calendar, the calendar of Antiochus of Athens from around the 2nd century AD, that also gives the birthday of the sun as December 25th, very comfortably predating Christmas. Now, to be fair to The Spectator, that calendar doesn't specifically say that that date was celebrated, but that does provide a pretty mortal blow to this idea that the date of birth for the unconquered soul was chosen for December 25th in order to coincide with Christmas. Instead, we see that date being established probably at least a century before that calendar of Philocalus. And the other problem is, well, where else did Christians get this day, December 25th, from? The best alternative explanation given is that somewhere around the 3rd, 4th century, some Christians decided that Christ was conceived on the spring equinox of March 25th. They had no biblical evidence or reason for believing that, but it fitted best with their ideas of the way the world worked and their pre-existing ideas of when the world was created. But you add 9 months from that, from March 25th, and you get December 25th. They manufactured an excuse to have their celebration at the same time as the rest of the Roman Empire. The idea that pagans copied from Christians, though gaining popularity online, is a pretty new and minority view. As theology professor Susan Rohl wrote 30 years ago, no liturgical historian, whatever her or his position on the concrete causes of the development and institution of the Christmas feast, goes so far as to deny that it has any sort of relation with the sun, the winter solstice, and the popularity of solar worship in the late Roman Empire. A much more common response is for Christians instead to say, yes, okay, Christmas is pagan, but it doesn't matter. For example, the magazine Catholic Answers wrote on this subject, there is nothing wrong with the church baptizing certain practices of other religions. Is that true? Well, if we're talking about right and wrong, we should look at what the Bible has to say about that. Deuteronomy 12, verse 29 to 31 states, when the Eternal your God shall cut off the nations from before you, whether you go to possess them, and you succeed them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself, that you be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before you, and that you inquire not after their God, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even will I do likewise. You shall not do so unto the Eternal your God. For every abomination unto the Eternal, which he hates, have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters have they burned in the fire to their gods. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it, you shall not add thereunto, nor diminish from it. So this is more than just a general exhortation not to worship pagan gods. God specifically says, do not take these pagan customs and use them to worship the true God. In that passage there, God points to some of the extreme abominations they were participating in, the brutal evil of child sacrifice. But if you look throughout Daniel chapter 12, God also forbids Israel from copying much more harmless-sounding pagan practices, like the way that they killed animals, or not copying the locations in which they worshipped. If we look in verse 8, it says, you shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. God says, doesn't matter if you don't see any harm in it, I'm telling you, don't do it. But that is the Old Testament. God says that he changes not, but many do simply ignore the Old Testament. What does the New Testament say? Well, we can look at Galatians chapter 4. In verse 8, Paul writes, howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. So here he is writing to Gentile converts that served false gods before conversion. Verse 9 says, but now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereinto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. Paul warns these Christians who said they were worshipping Christ about going back to their old pagan holy days. Note, he doesn't rebuke them for going back to their old pagan gods. They weren't doing that. Instead, it was elements of their old religion that they were bringing in. Just like people today, they were reasoning, well, we can baptize these old holy days in Christ. I can keep these practices that I enjoyed, but I can do it to Christ instead of to these pagan gods. And Paul condemns that. We can also look at the words of Jesus Christ himself in Mark chapter 7 and verse 7, where he says, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the traditions of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other things such like you do. Note, Christ here doesn't say, in vain do you worship false gods. No, he says, in vain do they worship me. Do they worship Jesus Christ? He says it's possible to believe that you are worshiping Jesus Christ. Believe that you're doing something for Jesus Christ. Saying that a pagan day has been baptized and keeping it holy. But it's all in vain. If we're being honest with ourselves, with the history, with the Bible, it's clear, yes, Christmas is pagan. And we should not be keeping it. Supposedly, baptizing pagan festivals has had an appeal for over 2,000 years. The temptation is very strong. There are a few other scriptures that people will pull out and quote out of context to say that no, it's fine. Change is hard. Justifying what you've always done is much easier. So I'll look at just one more scripture, one example of a scripture that gets used in that way in Romans 14 and verse 5. This says, one man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, if keeping Christmas violates your conscience, don't do it. Some would say based on this verse, but if I have no qualms about it, if I'm fully convinced in my own mind that it's cleansed and baptized and fine for me to keep it, well, then that's fine. I can go right ahead and do it. Now, did the same God that said, don't do every man that which is right in his own eyes, really then go on to say, if it's right in your eyes, just do it? Is that what this is saying? And let's look at this chapter in Romans 14. Let's start in verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive you, but not to doubtful disputations, for one believes that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eats herbs. Let not him that eats despise him not. Verse 4, who are you that judge another's man's servant? I mean, we can keep going through this chapter. Verse 6, he that regards the day regards it unto the Lord. He that regards not the day to the Lord regards it not. He that eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he that eats not to the Lord, he eats not and gives God not thanks. You know, verse 15, if your brother be grieved with your meat. Verse 23, we go all the way to the end of the chapter. He that doubts is damned if he eats. This is all about food. This chapter also talks about how to deal with those that believe it's wrong to eat meat. This is a letter to a pretty weak congregation with people coming out of idolatry, still growing and understanding. And here, Paul is talking about those that believe it's wrong to eat certain foods on certain days. Paul's certainly not contradicting what he wrote in Galatians chapter 4. And when people bring this scripture up, they tend to conveniently stop quoting it halfway through Romans 14 and verse 6. So the only question is, what will you do? Will you take an honest look at the facts? Paul warned about perilous times in 2 Timothy 3 of a world full of religions that are, quote, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he tells us, from such, turn away. Dare we heed that warning, break with society around us and turn away from Christmas? Dare we not follow that instruction? Our free book, The Truth About Christmas, has a lot more about these days, their pagan practices, where they come from. And you can read about that on our website, or you can order your own free print copy. There's no follow-up, there's no pressure from us. We just want to get this out to the largest audience possible. And we have another book that we'd love to give you as well. Again, you can read online or order your own free print copy to study alongside the Bible and to use to prove the truth from your Bible. And that is called Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days Which? Because there's a very positive aspect to this as well. Christmas is, in fact, a curse, a counterfeit. It gets our minds on self and away from God's holy day plan that points towards God's way, God's plan of salvation. Our free book, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days Which, will give you that positive vision. It points the way to a set of holy days that aren't commercialized or polluted by paganism and instead point us to God's true gospel. You can get all of that on our website, thetrumpet.com.